Hello, Internet. This is Dusseldorf calling live. I'm Ewan Spence.
And I'm Charlene Wright.
And this is your Eurovision Insight. Yes, ESEinsight.com, as promised, has made our way over to Germany. We are safely wrapped up in Dusseldorf. I'm waving at my guests to close the door so there's no echo. And there we go. Yes, we have guests in the studio. Joining me, the other half of ESC Insight, at least in the senior side of things, we have Charlene Wright.
Indeed, hello.
All the way up from Australia, finally doing this again in person.
Yay!
It's a bit difficult over the distance, but we've got there. It's the first year of ESC Insight as the website itself, doing the full thing in Dusseldorf. So honestly, we have no idea how this is going to go. Do get in touch with your comments and your feedback, Ewan at ESCinsight.com, or if you think I'm too big and scary.
Oh, that would be Charlene, Charlene at ESCinsight.com.
Right, Charlene, first up, we've had the first day of rehearsals, which was Sunday. 10 countries taken to the stage, just checking everything over. We have to say, there was something pretty impressive from Armenia. Okay, right. We have to say there was something impressive from Armenia.
Okay, I guess you could say that. Okay. Well, in keeping tradition, in 2011, well, they're not disappointing with the gratuitous use of the oversized props, are they? So Armenia this year have actually brought in the big guns, or should that be Big Fist? They've actually brought on a large boxing glove seat.
Why? I mean, yes, okay, it looks good on television, but it's almost like Armenia have decided they don't really want to win this year.
No.
Right. Speaking of big fists, we also have our invited guest panel. One of them looks happy, two of them look shocked, so I guess that sorts out the men from the boys automatically. First up, from the old jukebox jury team, and safely wrapped up here as well in Dusseldorf. I say wrapped up because it's nice, it's cozy. We've got our little studio, we have a coffee machine, we have a cooker, we don't have any cups or plates or anything, but we do have Andrew Main.
Hello there, Ewan, and hello there, everybody out there.
You're sounding quite subdued this morning, Andrew.
I must say that we're here very early in the morning, and I got home very early in the morning, so I'm not sure I've been to bed yet.
So there we go. We also, joining us from outside the stable, but we may well hear him on Jukebox Jury later on in the week if we can twist his arm. Not quite our sister site, because we wouldn't do that thing with our sisters, but joining us from ESC Daily, we have Luke Fisher.
Very good morning, Ewan.
First time on the podcast, Luke?
First time on the podcast.
Worried?
I'm with professionals.
You will be. And also, making up our guest panel today to talk about the issues around Eurovision, it is our Jukebox Jury legend. Sorry, it's our Jukebox Jury leg end. Got to remember the space when I'm doing the writing. We have David Elder.
Hello. Good morning. Good morgen, Ewan. Wie geht's?
Wie geht's? Good. Und so?
Auch sehr schön, danke.
And was ist das neueste Göttingen-Automat sein, ja?
Natürlich.
Okay, which of those was a Monty Python reference?
I think the last one.
It was, yes. Bonus points if you can spot what the reference was from. Anybody?
Bueller? Too young to remember that.
Monty Python's the most deadliest joke in the world.
I have too much taste.
And Luke needs to go look it up on YouTube or whatever. Right then. Everybody knows the dates. Eurovision is May the 14th for the grand finals. National finals have already happened. May the 10th, May the 12th for the semi-finals. Why are we here on May the 2nd?
I'm here to party.
I'm here just to watch all the rehearsals, and the party bit's quite good as well.
Yeah, I'm here with some of Her Majesty's press to blog, to video, to record anything, really.
And I'm here because it's my 23rd year. Hurrah!
So, David, let's start with you, given as yet again you've managed to show yourself as being the experienced old one without me prompting you.
Thank you.
Two weeks ahead.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, this is actually pretty important 2 weeks for the performers, absolutely, also for the press as well. Let's talk absolutely about this, the press and fans first of all, and then we'll move on to the performers.
Yeah.
A lot of us are here because we're obviously dedicated fans, but what can we spot? What can everybody look forward to that they're here in the 2 weeks?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that the good thing about being
there from the start of the rehearsals is that you're finding out how the songs are going to be presented. I mean, the other thing I should say, and I think it's quite an important point to get across, is that although most of us are here as fans, a lot of us are here with press accreditation because we're all doing something, you know, whether it's for a newspaper, whether it's for a radio station, whether it's for an internet blogging site or whatever, we've all got a job to do while we're here. So what we want to do is we want to see what the songs are going to come over like. We want to see how they're performed. You know, things like Charlene's just talked about, the big boxing glove for Armenia. It's things like that that you pick up early on. That's really, really important. So, and to party as well. It's great fun. You're meeting the artists.
Luke, yes. Of course, here from one of the largest internet sites out there for Eurovision. This must be the time that you either love or hate in equal measure.
It's the time I can't sleep. I cannot sleep. Last night, the night before first rehearsals, just can't sleep. There's too much stuff. You're just thinking, how are we going to do this? What are we going to do if this happens? What are we going to do if this happens? It is very stressful, but it's what you work all year for. So,
what's the sort of rough day that for somebody who'd be writing for ESC Daily would go through?
We try to get into the press centre a good half an hour before we want to get going. Set everything up. Set up the live web chat for everyone. Make sure the audio feed's working. Then set up the articles, make sure we've got the cameras, go in, record each rehearsal by video, and then go back again and take some pictures. So a couple of times down the back straight around the athletics track is doing us all the world of good today.
And they have put the press centres like 400 or 500 metres away from the stage. So there's
we're all getting very fit.
So would you wear a pedometer for us today just to work out how much you're running?
Oh, absolutely.
Lovely. So you'll come back tomorrow and tell us...
Yeah.
Great, okay, there's one guest sorted out for tomorrow. Right, Andrew, not 23 years for you, but you've been here a couple of times.
No, this is only my 12th time at Eurovision, and I started off just purely as a fan the first 5 years or so, and then somebody asked me if I would do some work for their website, and I've been doing that ever since, so that's now 7 years doing all that sort of stuff.
So that's Keith Shanghai-Yun for all kinds of everything.
That's right, yeah.
Hopefully we'll have Keith here later on in the week as well. Keith just wants to live in the press centre, doesn't he?
Keith lives in the press centre. Even when he's at home in his bedroom, he's living in the press centre. It's just constant for him.
And of course, Charlene, 24 hours in the flight yesterday to get over?
Yeah.
Or like the day before and land in 6 hours.
Yeah, literally landed at like 6:30 in the morning in Frankfurt, hopped the train and went straight to the press centre. There wasn't even any checking into the hotel. Was straight off to the rehearsals.
So this is your first year that you're actually doing something for a site, which is for our site, but previous years you've been a fan. This is your first year as press.
This is my first year as press. I was fan accredited for Moscow and for Oslo, and obviously working for ESC Insight this year, which is our website.
And what's the difference that you spotted so far?
The difference is actually working.
That's right, yes. Get down there, work, do stuff.
No. It is a case that you do need to take it seriously. You're here to work. You're here, you're that at the press conferences, you're at the rehearsals, and you're there to actually work and blog. So I was actually sitting there watching all the rehearsals yesterday, actually writing up reviews, keeping an eye, obviously, to see things like Armenia. And in Russia as well.
And I think the thing to point out here, David, is that it's a long day. I mean, okay, rehearsals start at 10, but yep. By the time we do, I don't know, morning recordings of radio shows and stuff, then get in. Rehearsals run through till about 6-7 o'clock for the press conference.
Yeah, 6-7. I mean, yesterday, first day, this is quite interesting. We were all expecting German efficiency as far as timings and stuff. The press conferences by the end of yesterday were running 50 minutes late. So one that was due to start at about 6:30, which was Finland, I think that was the last guy on last night. I don't think his press conference was starting till nearly 8 o'clock last night. So it was, you know, it's a long, long day for people. If you're just, you know, running between the auditorium, watching live performance, then you run back, you're catching a press conference, and then you're doing a bit of blogging or whatever on the PCs. It's intense.
Yeah, it is. It's a very long day, especially kind of if you're trying to do everything. Trying to make sure you've got absolutely everything done so you are there from the moment it starts to the moment it ends. A lot of people sort of swan between one or t'other, but it's knackering for 2 weeks.
That's true. I try to do all kinds of everything, to be perfectly honest with you.
Nice.
I got that in.
We're not doing no point, but that would have been a two-pointer.
That was a two-pointer from me. But, I mean, as well as trying to do a lot of writing on the blog for Keith's website, I'm also running along that 400-metre track back and forth, because I'm trying to also take all the photographs in the rehearsal in the arena. So it is, it's very intense, it's a lot of work. In fact, I'm busier when I come here for 2 weeks than the whole of the rest of the year back home in the UK.
So there we go. Let's swing over, and now we've done all of that, and have a little listen to the performers as well, which was one of the things that we've been doing with the rehearsals yesterday. They've already been selected from the national finals. The deadline for that was March the... in the middle-ish. Go on. Somebody wants to tell me...
12th, 13th.
I think that's right.
Do I hear more than the 13th? No.
I might have raised you to the 15th, but that's as far as I'm going.
But in any case, the songs have been selected 6 weeks ago. There's still a huge amount that they can do with the song now they're here. I mean, we kind of joked about Armenia there with the boxing glove and they don't really want to win it, but... Luke, let's start with a song like Armenia that, to be honest, Emmy didn't really want to sing. What can she do with that song now, herself and the Armenian delegation?
You can load it with gimmicks and throw absolutely everything, including the kitchen sink, at it in the hope to distract the viewers from the fact that the song's rubbish. And that's it, what we are almost watching at for 2 weeks with some countries, is what are they doing to distract us from the 3 minutes of the song? And this is exactly what they've done. She's got cursive position number 4 to have some ribbons that you pull that Slovakia had last year, Sertab had. They've just got those from nowhere. A boxing glove because they've come up with a motif for the song. You have to sort of have some theme running through it. And Boom Boom Chaka Chaka, they've decided, is now punching because that's the dance routine. And it is. It's just, let's just throw what we can at it.
You have to say, incredibly bad taste given that Henry Cooper died yesterday.
Absolutely. I mean, I was mourning Henry Cooper, and then Armenia came on with his boxing glove, and I thought, that's so cruel.
I know. So we're expecting a snooker-themed presentation from somebody today, because we also lost Ted Lowe, BBC snooker commentator.
God rest his soul.
Which means that Elaine Dove is probably somewhere, you know, crying very, very quietly into a black and tan. But David, I mean, you've been here. It's these songs that are getting gimmick loaded, everybody points out to Bucks Fizz and goes, oh, it was the skirts that won it. But gimmicks don't win you Eurovision, do they?
Yes, but well, they kind of do. I mean, look at Lordi. That was like the biggest gimmick of all, and that certainly won them the contest. Having said that, was a great song.
To be fair, that was Lordi 5 or 6 years before Eurovision, wearing the masks.
Absolutely, and that's not to detract from them, because as I say, I think they're a fantastic band anyway. But the fact that you had, you know, 5 guys and a girl standing there in rubber monster outfits, you know, that was always going to win Eurovision because it just stood out. It was so different.
Didn't work for Hero, though, did it?
No. Oh, yeah, that was the alien look. I think what Luke said is absolutely right, though. I mean, a lot of these people are clutching at straws. They know they've got rubbishy songs, and they're just like, what can we do now to try and win some votes here? But I think the viewing public are a little bit more kind of discerning than that now, and I think they know something rubbish when they see it.
Well, I mean, yesterday we also saw another prop from Turkey, which was our little hamster ball with the contortionist inside. What was that about? I think we asked that question in the press conference. What actually had that to do with the song? Absolutely nothing. Something about the world and it changing and it being different. Gimmicks, they don't necessarily have to be part of the song.
It's quite true. The last few years, gimmicks really had a big influence potentially on the winning song, not just the fact it was a good song. But in the last 2 years, I say that the gimmicks have been thrown out the window a little bit, because really good songs have worked a lot better and have done really quite well. So I don't understand Turkey, because I think the Turkish song is an excellent song. It's getting played in a big arena. They are an arena band, and they can do it just purely based on the song itself, yet they've got this daft little gimmick in the middle of the stage. I don't understand that at all.
It's interesting, though, because, you know, what you're saying, Andrew's right. Some of the better songs recent years have also used gimmicks. I mean, look at Dima Bilan. Now, I wasn't a big fan of Believe, but I think a lot of people expected Believe to win. Yet they still went for the gimmick of the violin player and the chap doing the ice skating on the thing. It probably would have won without that anyway.
But there is a difference between what could politely be said a nice piece of contemporary dance, which Dima had, and a boxing glove or a hamster wheel. Or those strange lights that they had from Armenia 2-3 years ago. I mean, Armenia have formant. What is that there for?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's just maybe to make people remember, isn't it? You know, it's like the toppers with their hand shiny light things. Their song was Shine a couple of years ago. It's something to get in people's memories and think, oh, I don't know what to vote for. Oh, yeah, let's go for those Campo poofs with the Diamante suits and things. Because, you know, mind you, they didn't vote for them, did they?
The toppers, of course, the reason why Europe does not have a sequin mountain. Speaking, though, of big props, in the last couple of years, what we have seen is the rise of the LCD screen. So whereas before, for example, Finland would have had to bring in a great big fake globe to spin behind Paradise Oscar, now they can just use a nice bit of CGI.
Yes, obviously Moscow really got the ball rolling with that one, with the ginormous thing that you could effectively load a computer program on onto the floor and behind. Oslo last year didn't really have that, and countries were forced to sort of use the stage physically. You know, let's bring some curtains down or some chandeliers or something. This year we're going back to put what you like on the backing motif. Some of them look very good, some of them look slightly suspicious. But my problem with that, though, is the distance from the stage to the LED. And you can see it. When you get these shots from high angles coming round, you can see the distance. And if you've got a pyro, if it's a white flash like Albania had yesterday of smoke, you need that LED to light up the pyrotechnics. And when they're doing this sweeping shot from the corner, it doesn't, and it looks rubbish, because all you can see is the grey floor.
And, of course, this, of course, is one of the reasons they have the dress rehearsals and the technical rehearsals, because once they've done it, everybody who's went out on stage will then go away to the viewing room and see what it looks like on television.
Yes.
And one of the things that they're hopefully going to do is everybody gets 3 30 minutes on stage, as they're going to, next time, sort out the camera angles, try and have those issues solved up. So when that's why they're here 2 weeks early, you know, it's only taken us, 19 minutes to get to that. They're here to check the camera angles. How boring is that?
Well, yeah, but it's a very important part of it, because if you've got a singer that's got a double chin, you want to make sure you're not showing her sideways on.
Oh, now, who could that be then, Luke?
Kiara's not in it this year.
Remember those 2 points you earned for no plan? They've just doubled. Or taken off, depending on what sort of mood I'm in. Right then, so there's a lot going on. We've got more rehearsals going on today. I think we've also got one of the first major parties with Israel this evening.
Is it?
Andrew?
I'm not sure. I'm totally clueless on the parties. I just follow the crowd.
So basically, you can tell us where all the good parties are tomorrow.
I will.
That's not much good.
Is Dana up for a ding-dong tonight?
Luke will be appearing on No Point and is obviously getting the practice in. We will be attempting to awake on time tomorrow because we do, of course, need everybody here. Speaking of people who didn't quite get here on time, hello, Stephen.
Morning.
A little bit late.
A little bit.
Yeah, you got the pictures ready to go up on the website for our daily best picture of
Not
Eurovision?
Quite ready, no, but we'll get there.
We'll get there. We'll have them within 24 hours?
Yes.
Good, like that. Back to sleep. I'm Ewan Spence. Of course, as always, we have
Charlene Wright,
who just kind of sits there and keeps me right and hands me the little script notes. Thanks to our panel today, which has been
Andrew Main,
Luke Fisher,
David Elder.
And thank you all out there for listening. www.escinsight, and you will be able to leave your comments, give us steers, ask us questions. You want to know something that's happening at the rehearsals or backstage or in Dusseldorf, pop them in by email. You'll find us on Twitter and Facebook as well, twitter.com/escinsight and facebook.com/escinsight as well. It may be early in the morning, but everybody, do we all know what happens now?
Guitars.